as the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I would ask your attention to the second book of Kings, the sixth chapter, and the last clause of verse 15. The second book of Kings, the sixth chapter, and the last clause of verse 15. Alas, my master, how shall we do? The verse reading, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? How confident was the prophet Elisha? What a gracious confidence this prophet had. And because the Lord had wrought miracles by his hand previously, it gave him further confidence that the Lord would now appear in their dilemma. And dear friends, if God has done something for us, it makes us more confident of his help in the future. I speak of a gracious confidence. Not that self-confidence, and there seems to me a very thin line between the two. We fear to presume upon God. And sometimes even gracious people can be mistaken in a matter. So that holds one from self-confidence. It saves one from being too bold. But we find this gracious man, Elisha, a very confident and a graciously confident prophet of the Lord. For how many things took place via Elisha, by the word of the Lord, as we read in verse 18, and he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. All the condescension of the Lord to listen to his prophet Elisha and do this. And many things were done by the hand of Elisha. And this illustration and this event before us, not only illustration but event in the annals of Scripture, is no exception. Truly, the man of God was in a strait, and his servant with him, encompassed with clouds, encompassed with armies, encompassed with hosts, the hosts of horses and chariots. Thither sent the king here. Thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So here was the man of God encompassed by those who would take him dead or alive. And there is but one thing, and that is to look up. And in all our troubles and trials or afflictions that come in our path, there's only one thing, dear friends, and that is to look up. If we look down, we shall, like Peter, sink. Peter, when walking upon the water towards the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was able to do this so long as he eyed his Saviour well. And we're only safe and secure when we are looking toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are looking away from him, if we're looking at the billows and the boisterous waves, then we should begin to sing. Only as we are looking unto the Lord are we safe. And it matters not in what we consider. The only way we're safe is looking unto Christ. Whether in matters at home, in our providences, or in spiritual things, or in those eternal matters which confront us and affect us, every one of us. So the Lord give us grace to look up to him. This man, Elisha, with other of the prophets, were singular men. Elisha here believed that her God would appear. And he seemed to have a gracious insight into this, that the Lord's host was nigh. And I do believe this, and from the word of God, that angels are sent of God to protect particularly the people of God. And I do believe this, dear friends, that if only we could but see into the spiritual world, there's much activity from heaven. And I believe it has the full backing of Scripture, and none exception in this Word of God, in many places, how that the Lord sent an angel and smote the Syrian camp to the deliverance of the children of Israel. And I do believe this too, that this guardianship that God sends of that heavenly host still remains, and to this day. I don't know whether you know of the incident, but when under that communistic rule in Russia, and those from the school were going to disrupt a Christian family at the Christmas time. And was known that this might take place, and nothing did take place. And when the boy went back to school in the new year, he found this, that indeed there was going to be some interruption and breaking into their house. But when they arrived there, there was an angel guarding that house, and they were in fear. And left them alone. Now I believe this, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And I do believe this, that in our greatest danger, that the Lord sends his angel to protect. Men speak liberally of guardian angels, but it is a fact. And also, I believe that these heavenly hosts are very busy people, or busy creatures, rather. We read concerning even in the preaching of the gospel, that an angel is sent who flies in heaven and is sent with the everlasting gospel down to this earth. Sometimes I know that when angels are referred to, it means the elect angel, Jesus Christ. But not in every incident. To confirm this, in Revelation 22, we read this, I, Jesus, do send mine angel to testify unto you in the churches, I, Jesus, send mine angel. And here we find that though the servant of Elisha was indeed troubled, and well he might be, yet Elisha realized that there was the Lord's guard for them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, and that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. We do not always realize that the Lord himself is nigh. We speak of those who are sent to guard, but the Lord himself is round about his people. The Lord himself is nigh unto them that fear him. He is ever nigh. His presence is known by his people. And when it is not realized, he is there. His presence is with his people, over and above them. And not only so, but within them. For he dwells within his people by his Spirit. And so it can truly be said that the kingdom of God is within you. For those who wait for the fulfillment of the prophecy that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There may be such a day, but it is so now, but only realized by those who are enlightened. For instance, if you read in Isaiah chapter 6, you'll read that of the angels bowing and veiling their faces, and that prayer that the earth may be filled, the earth it shall be filled with the glory of God. I must turn to it to quote it more correctly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It is now full of his glory, but only realized by those who are enlightened to realize it, so that the presence of the Lord is everywhere. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, it also fills the whole earth. But we do not always realize that God is nigh. And certainly here the servant of Elisha did not realize that they were being protected. And he heard and saw of the chariots and hosts of the enemy. And he said, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And how many of the Lord's people come into this place? Alas, my master, how shall we do? When there is a cloud and the sun is no more seen, and spiritually there is a cloud, and you do not realize that the Lord is nigh, and you come into some deep trouble, some difficulty. some perplexity, something that is beyond you to do or to understand. And you say, alas, my master, how shall we do? Do pray sometimes for our own dear children that in their study they may be able to look up, for the Lord knows the answer to all difficulties. There is no mathematical sum, but the Lord knows it, the answer. There is nothing that the Lord does not know. He is infinite in knowledge and understanding. He is supreme. He is a God of knowledge, a God of understanding. Oh, if only we could realize this, the greatness of this God and the ability of this God. There's nothing that is too hard for him. If we begin to think otherwise, we belittle the greatness of the Almighty. We believe, as you know, that no thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. Now begin to analyse that. But all the people, all the face of the earth, in every house, in every room, in every street, in every village, town or city, and throughout the world, do you believe that? I do. I cannot begin to grasp it, to comprehend it. Why do I think that? Why do I believe that? Because I know that the Lord knows my thoughts. I know that the Lord has cognizance of all my thoughts and my way. And he watches over that path and over every action, every motive, everything concerning me. The Lord is judge. The Lord sees from above everything, every minute thing that takes place throughout his works. And that's comprehensive. Throughout his works. Either in the starry sky above, or upon this universe, or in the deep sea, everything he sees and knows, for he has made them. And he that is made is greater than the thing that is made. As he that builds a house is greater than the house that is built. But we do not always realize this. And so we fear. And so we become cast down. And it was necessary for Elisha to encourage this man. And he answered, fear not. Fear not. So he was with the man of God and had seen some of the working of miracles under the hand of Elisha, no doubt. We read in this very same the chapter concerning the iron that did swim. It was Elisha's servant that was with him. And though we must not conjecture, it could well be the same man. We're not really told that. But he was with this man of God, and he knew that miracles were performed by him, by the hand of God. And yet he was afraid, and he did not know what would happen. And we do not know that eventual providence of God, or the way of God, unless God gives us some intimation of it. And so he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." On the face of it, it did not appear so. Greatly outnumbered, naturally speaking. And in how many times we find this in Scripture. It is not by might, and it is not by power, the Scripture says, but it is by my Spirit. And the Lord can lead in whatsoever way he will. Sometimes it is in the Lord's appointing that his people must suffer. The people of God are not immune from suffering. I spoke recently from a very difficult text upon this. That the Lord will not, that he will not suffer any plague to come nigh thy dwelling. He that keepeth thee, keepeth Israel, and so on. And yet, in the providence of God, and particularly years back when TB was so rampant, how many infants died of it? And it's very difficult to explain these things. But no evil shall befall thee. And nothing then beyond this, it is the soul. For in some circumstances, the people of God suffer much. And so we must look even beyond that. No real evil shall ever come upon the people of God. Nothing that shall really hurt their soul, though often it does hurt their circumstances, and some grievous things sometimes come into the path and lot of the people of God. They're very difficult things to speak of, and very difficult indeed to understand. But no real harm does ever come to those who fear God. But we fear. Therefore we say there is more against us than for us. And naturally speaking, it may be like that. But when we look up, then we find that there is more for us than with them, as was clearly seen here. For the Lord's hosts were nigh. And if we have God with us, then it will be well. More indeed are with the people of God than with the people of this world. Fear not. And it is a blessed fear not that is spoken by God to his people here. Alas, and again we have that word in the fifth verse concerning the axe head that fell into the water. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. There's a circumstance which suddenly comes sometimes into the path, and we know not what to do. And alas, master. Alas, my master, how shall we do? If we consider this in a spiritual sense here, dear friends, eternity is before us. And you say, alas, how shall I do? Make no mistake about it. Eternity is before us. eternity is before all mankind. How few stop to consider it. How many are busied in everything else but this one consideration. We cannot always be under this consideration. There are those things which have to be attended to in life. There's a lawful pursuit. But I say this, that if the Lord by His Spirit draw your mind and attention to it, do seek then to make best use of that time. And if those serious thoughts are in the mind and spirit as to your standing before God, then if possible seek solitude and pour out your heart before God and pray unto Him for His mercy and for a word of comfort in these things, a word of salvation to be spoken into your heart and very soul. Men of this world, the people of this world are so busy that they never stop to consider. And indeed, they cannot consider, and we shall not consider, for gross darkness is upon the people. And two, there is a rising up against these things in a fallen human nature. There's a determined closing of the eyes. There's a determined shutting of the ears against these things, against the truth. And only God by His Spirit can really unstop the ear and cause the eyes to see and break the hard heart and give a heart of flesh. It's only by the Spirit of God that we really come to attention and to really consider. But it is appointed in the Word of God that these things should be spoken and proclaimed upon Zion's hill. A warning from the Word of God, an instruction from the Word of God, an exhortation from the Word of God. Be ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh in two ways. Either His coming for us personally and individually, or His coming at the end of time. That is hidden as to the timing of it from all men. But we are told from the Word of God that His coming shall be as the lightning from one part of the earth to the other. And you all know that in a thunderstorm, how quickly that lightning flashes across the sky. And that is in Scripture said to be, to describe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in His second coming. In the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. Oh, you say, alas, alas, my master, how shall I do? How will it be? How will the Lord find me if He should come in that great day? I do believe this, that it makes those who fear God careful where they might be. There are lawful things that we can take interest in. But there are places where we ought not to be. And in this respect, my dear late mother-in-law, in her young days, she was allured into going to a cinema, and she went in and she felt that the place was going to come down upon her. So was the displeasure of God beginning to work in her heart, that she felt that there was no place for her there. And as a rule, I feel we can say this, that let us not be found in any place where you would not like the Lord to find you. A good rule is that when he may come for us, but whether he come for all, or whether he come for us individually, it is the most important that we are ready for when he comes for us personally in that great day. Alas, for I am not ready. Is there anybody here that says, alas, for I am not ready? I do not know whether I really belong to the people of God. I have no real evidence in my heart. And if someone was to say to me, well, what has the Lord done for you? And you wouldn't be able to answer. Hello, dear friend, are you concerned about this? Are you increasingly concerned as to your standing before God? Or will it be said in that day, carrying him away, and he was speechless? Oh, what a solemn thing if we are found speechless in that day. Or will he be able to say, when Christ appears, and when Christ appears for us, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will come and bless us. Or similar words again. This is our God. He will come and save us. Oh, how will it be, dear friends, with us each in that day? Will he be able, by the grace of God, to look up in that day? For your redemption draweth nigh. From return to the present time and circumstances in our lives. And sometimes in our lives, things come suddenly upon us. Some new trouble arises. And how soon we sink and we fear. But what is the best course for us? Oh, so soon to look to the source of our strength. If only we could look to the source of our strength the sooner rather than the later. But so often fear takes hold upon us, that it is some while before we begin to find our feet, as it were, and find some sure standing. If the trouble is particularly bad, the more it bowls the mind and soul over. And if you need the Lord to speak to you, or you need someone to exhort you, or to guide you, as Elisha here, he prayed that the young man's eyes might be open to see. What a blessing has the preaching of the gospel been to some of us, and I trust that it might still be so. It has been made a blessing to me when in trouble or need of direction or in great difficulty at times, what the services of the Lord's house have meant. I always remember a time in particular when in great difficulty and in trouble, and I believe at the time was walking in the fear of God, and I remember the late dear Mr. Frank Gosden coming to Skains Hill, and he read that psalm, "Judge me, O God, for I have walked in my integrity." At that particular time it was like fresh cold water to the troubled soul. "Judge me, O God, for I have walked in mine integrity." And so the Lord has appointed the preaching of the gospel to encourage his people. And that one would encourage those who are fearful, those who are in trouble, encourage them to trust in the Lord. And here is the great responsibility to us who preach, to encourage those who the Word of God encourages, to discourage those whom the Word of God does not encourage. But for woe be to us if we make sad those that the Lord has made not made sad. And woe be to us if we do not speak the word of God clearly and with a certain sound. If we warn not the wicked from his way, his evil way. What does the scripture say? His blood shall be upon that watchman. But he that hath my word must speak my word faithfully. And I desire to speak the word of God faithfully, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is a people that need encouraging. There is that which needs discouraging. I would grasp at a straw to encourage any that fear God, and to encourage according to the word of God. I must close with this remark that there is this strength which is from above. God alone is the refuge of his people. And to all who are tender in his fear, fear not, for there is more with you than with all that opposes, for God is with you. And David says, though 10,000, we read it together, 10,000, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about, and neither will you be if the Lord is with you. Amen. Let us close with him. 832. 832. The men that fear the Lord in every state are blessed. The Lord will grant whate'er they want. Their souls shall dwell at rest.
Amen.
Lord, help us to own thy sovereign sway, to acknowledge thee, to own thy authority over us, but grant, Lord, that we may each know thee in a gracious way, and be with us as we separate, and grant thy protecting care, and throughout our lives, and land us safe above. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with each. Amen.